And do we have Alice Slater?
Yes, I'm available. Glad to be here.
Hello, Alice.
Hi.
Hold on for a
second. So Alice was part of our weekly piece segment, and earlier this week, unfortunately, President Trump announced that he was pulling the United States out of the nuclear deal with Iran. Most of the world, of course, have opposed such a move, and the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation said that such a move is dangerous and will have negative international repercussions. So, Alice, can you maybe describe to us briefly what the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation is and why you're concerned about what Mr. Trump is doing?
Well, we've been working for nuclear abolition since we were formed in the 70s. I represent them in New York at the United Nations. They're based in Santa Barbara. But they've done a lot of great projects. They did a lawsuit on the Marshall Islands to bring attention to all the suffering from the nuclear testing. And right now, of course, everybody that's been working for nuclear abolition and the elimination of nuclear weapons is totally upset at what President Trump is doing with this Iran agreement. It was torturously negotiated by the Obama administration. Actually, Kerry negotiated it, and it was to get Iran to stop enriching their nuclear power waste product, which is uranium. And if you put that waste from the back end of a nuclear reactor through an enrichment process, you get bomb-grade material. So every nuclear reactor, in a sense, is a bomb factory. And even though Iran has the legal right to enrich it because the non-proliferation treaty, where five nuclear weapons states promised to give up nuclear weapons, that is the U.S., Russia, England, China, and France, if the whole rest of the world promised not to get them, and everybody signed, except for India, Pakistan, and Israel, and they got them. But Iran signed, and part of the deal for those countries that signed was they got access to so-called peaceful nuclear power. So in a sense, we gave them the keys to the bomb factory. I mean, that's what North Korea did. They got their nuclear power and walked out and made a bomb. So we thought Iran was making a bomb, although they denied it. And we said, and we negotiated this very stringent inspection process through the International Atomic Energy Agency to make sure that they weren't enriching their materials to bomb quality. And so far, since the deal was signed, everybody says they're in compliance. They're doing what they said we were going to do. And in return, we were going to give up our sanctions on Iran. So that's where it is now. Trump wants to put sanctions back on, and Iran is thinking that they might not pull out because it's not just between us and Iran. It was a United Nations agreement, and there were like Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China signed with us, and they are all against our pulling out. And Iran just said today they might try to work things out with those other countries so that they're not suffering from economic sanctions. And that's where it is right now.
One thing I've heard is that our pulling out when we were in this agreement, it bought us up to 15 years where the Iranians wouldn't be working actively on a nuclear weapon. But now it could be down to a period as short as 1 year. Do you know anything about that? Exactly.
You see, once you have a peaceful nuclear reactor and the end product is the nuclear waste, if you put that through an enrichment process, it makes it into bomb-grade material. And what they're saying is now they can do it in a year. We promised a 15-year deal where they'd be subject to inspections and we could be assured that they weren't enriching that material to make it into bombs. Now, we don't stop other countries from doing this. Japan enriches, Brazil enriches. You know, we just pick our favorite enemies to pick on and say, you can't do it. So Iran actually gave up a legal right there just to get along with everybody, and it still wasn't good enough. You know, and meanwhile, what are we saying? We're saying that we don't like that they're doing missiles. Well, we do missiles. I mean, we just tested a missile off the Vandenberg Air Force Base. We shoot them into the Pacific. I mean, if we're saying they can't have the bomb, why aren't we willing to give up the bomb? This is not just Trump. Obama was going to spend $1 trillion over the next 10 years. The two new bomb factories, submarines, missiles, airplanes to deliver new nuclear weapons and new bombs. And Trump just is doing what Obama was going to do and upped it a little bit more, you know. So we're not keeping our promise to give up nuclear weapons, but we're expecting them to, you know. And then we don't even give them the benefit of the doubt when the IAEA says they're not enriching, so they can't make a bomb. He still wants to walk out of it.
Now, there's certainly a lot of belief that the Israeli government was really pushing Trump to pull out of the nuclear accord with Iran. What is sort of Israel's interest in continuing to, you know, escalate tensions with Iran? Is Iran really the biggest threat to Israel?
I don't think so. Israel's the biggest threat to all of them. Israel has a whole bunch of nuclear weapons that we don't even talk about. I mean, it's so hypocritical. And they are not willing to admit. They neither confirm nor deny, but we know we have them. And now it's really this religious axis, like the Saudi Arabians are now our best friends, even though it was 1940s that knocked over the World Trade Center. But they're our best friends, and we're actually talking about giving them nuclear power. They've never had it. So-called peaceful nuclear power, giving them the keys to the bomb factory. This is a deal. And they and Israel are an alliance. It's the Sunni-Shia breakdown, and Iran's on the other side of that. So there's like these old fault lines in the Middle East. Israel's right in the middle of all of it. I mean, he's been playing a terrible role in this Netanyahu. He did a big press conference this week showing Iran's nuclear development of nuclear weapons, but it was like old material from 2003, and everybody knew that, and he's saying it like it's new. You know, he was trying to make us think this was like terrible what Netanyahu did. So they're definitely part of this, and Trump has not done Israel any good or us any good by putting the new capital in Jerusalem when nothing's been settled, by not clamping down on these expanded settlements that Israel's doing when they, even their own court said they're illegal. And it's really crazy because the Israeli right wing that's building these settlements is supported by the evangelical Christians in America, who think that when Israel occupies this West Bank territory that belongs to the Arabs when they created the state, it was divided between them, that Jesus is going to return, will be the second coming. Of course, then all the Jews will go to hell anyway. But in the meantime, there's an alliance of the right-wing Jewish lobby in America, which we call AIPAC, and the evangelical Christians. And it's just, it's very sad for Israel because I don't know how they'll ever make peace.
What role, if any, do you see Congress playing in the overseeing of the nuclear accord?
Well, I mean, there's going to be public pressure on Congress, but I don't think we have a winning combination in Congress to stop Trump. The one thing they all agree on with him is when any time they want to spend money, Democrats and Republicans, for war, I mean, they're all behind it. Obama was behind them. Obama expanded the drone program. There really is no... The one person we had in Congress where you could call him up and get in an abolition bill or stop the war bill was Dennis Kucinich, and the Democrats redistricted him, so he's out of there. So it's a long haul. I mean, we need a lot of, there's going to be demonstrations. We should all write our congressmen and call them. We picketed Schumer in New York. Schumer, the Democratic leader, didn't vote for Obama's deal with Iran. He voted against it. You know, he's with the Israel lobby. So I don't know what this is going to do to North Korea. Why would they make a deal with us if they see us walking out of it? You know, and actually I'm in this new network, World Beyond War, which I think is very powerful. And, you know, they're kind of thinking outside the box. and they're going to put out a big statement now calling for the rest of the world to boycott us. I mean, we have to tell the world that America is not the good guys like we thought we were, you know, that we're the troublemakers on the planet right now.
We're talking with Alice Slater, who is with the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, and we're talking about the decision this week, or the announcement by President Trump pulling the United States out of the nuclear agreement with Iran. But as you, Alice, as you mentioned earlier, there are quite a few of the other, you know, major political economic players in the world who are also part of the agreement. They disagree with the Trump administration's unilateral decision to pull out of it. What are they going to do at this point? You did mention that, you know, they may in fact themselves see to, you know, circumvent the boycott to the Trump administration, but, you know, how do they begin to stand up and say to the Trump administration, this is nonsense, this is, you know, this is anti-peace? What does the rest of the world do at this point?
They're saying it, but what we have to do at the grassroots is to keep the pressure on them, to keep the pressure on Trump. I mean, you know, Macron was here with Trump and Angela Merkel, and they were all, and he met with the Chinese guy, the president, and they were all telling him not to do this and walk out of the agreement with Iran, and he's not listening to any of our allies. I mean, he's like a bull in the china shop. So what we can do now is talk to our international colleagues. That's what this World Beyond War, which is an international network, is, and shore up the other countries that are in the deal. This is not just our deal. It's not just the U.S. and Iran. It's the United Nations deal with these other countries, and all of them are against our walking out of it. So maybe this will be some kind of comeuppance for the United States. You know, we were the leader and everybody followed us, but maybe this is waking them up that we're not to be followed, you know, and we have to be. And in their favor, Iran is taking a wait-and-see attitude. They're not saying they're going to go enrich right away just because Trump is walking out. They're saying they're going to see what the other countries do and if they'll pick up the slack, because sanctions are not just nothing. They really hurt a country. You know, you think it's not a war, so it's okay to do sanctions. But we're starving people. We've been given food shortages and medicine shortages, and it really hurts people when you do sanctions. It's an attack on the people of the country, and that's what Trump wants to do, put sanctions back. And so Iran is hoping that those other countries who are part of the agreement, which was Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China, will pick up the slack if the U.S. stops trading with them and gives them more aid and trade, and so then they don't have to go back to enriching, although they always said they never had any intention of making a bomb, and who knows. I mean, our history with Iran is so sad. We overthrew their democratically elected president in 1953. Our CIA assassinated him. That's admitted, because he was going to nationalize their oil. And then we put the Shah in, who was like a total right-wing dictator, and he was awful for the people, and so they overthrew him. And we wound up with the Ayatollah, and, you know, it wasn't good for us that we did that. We should have supported their original democracy, you know. So we're, this new guy, Rouhani, he's the more moderate guy, the one that made the deal with Obama, and now we're undercutting him. So even in Iran, he's in trouble, and the more hardline, you know, Muslim fanatical types in Iran are coming to the fore. So we're opening up this whole Pandora's box. It's so upsetting, and we just have to work with our international colleagues to keep the pressure on from the UN and from those countries. And to
Alice, we only have about a minute and a half left.
Sure.
I know one of the groups you work with won the Nobel Peace Prize last year for nuclear disarmament. Putting aside the whole mess with Iran, which is probably more about geopolitics than perhaps even nuclear power, what do we need to do in a minute to get nuclear disarmament?
Well, right now what we need to do is get some people in our Congress to say they're going to support the Ban Treaty. This is a treaty that was negotiated to prohibit. We never did that. The Non-Proliferation Treaty just says we'll make good faith efforts. But this banned the bomb like it banned chemical and biological weapons. And it's been signed by 56 countries, ratified by 9. We need 50 ratifications. And there's a parliamentary pledge. There's a divestment project that we can do here. Don't bank on the bomb, where we can do what the oil and fossil fuel people are doing and make pensions divest from nuclear weapons manufacturers. And Don't Bank on the Bomb has all the manufacturers. The Norwegian government just said they're not going to have any of their pensions invested in nuclear weapons. And that's something we can do here while we're trying to keep the pressure on.
Well, Alice, we want to thank you for joining us here today. We're out of time. If people want to find out more about the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation or about the issue of Iran and nuclear accord, can you give us 20 seconds of a website or someplace they can travel to?
Well, for banning the bomb, ICANW.org, ICANW.org, ICANAbolishNuclearWeapons.org. That has lots of new things coming up. That's the group that got the treaty. And for really working internationally and putting pressure on other countries, I recommend worldbeyondwar.org. That's a very good international network that's now talking about how do we create pressure in the European and Asian countries on the U.S. to do the right thing about Iran and other issues.
Well, thank you, Alice, for joining
us
today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Bye.
Last week, WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce went to New Orleans and visited four of the five new low-power radio stations there.